The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a little look at the Reds and, of course, their continued stroll. Their stroll to the top of the Premier League. So Southampton becoming the latest team to be brushed aside. 3-0 at the weekend. Let's have a chat with Chris Bascom from the Daily Telegraph. Morning, Chris.
Morning, Steve.
It all seems very straightforward for Liverpool at the moment, doesn't it?
It was certainly on Saturday, yeah. It's like a very different world, isn't it, at the moment, as sort of mentioned in my report today, comparing to the same opponents, Jurgen Klopp's first game at Anfield against Southampton. And so, like, it's a different club, different mood, different atmosphere. It's almost like a different sport, I mean, in many ways. So relaxed. Maybe a bit too tranquil second half, maybe, when you compare it to what was like against Paris. But I mean, that's probably understandable. It was 3-0, half-time, game was over, and everyone was just thinking, get through unscathed, you know, looking ahead for the next two league games against Chelsea and City, which will be a bit different. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the ease with which teams are being brushed aside, and it's not something that should be taken for granted. I mean, the amount of work and effort that's gone in to get Liverpool to this point, you know, and there's a question, you know, valid question asked to Mark Hughes after the game, you know, doesn't this show the gulf between, you know, the top sides and those mid-table? But Liverpool were not, you know, exposing that gulf, were they, a few years back? It's only now that they really are, you know, one of the real top teams, not just in this country, but in Europe.
At the heart of this, is it the team ethic? We see game in, game out, that they seem very much a collective.
Yeah, they are, but I also think it's just better players. I think it's the recruitment of the club has been proven to be, you know, very forward thinking, and of course the manager has just transformed everything in the way he sets the team up, and you know the players buy into that. You know, I tried to almost sarcastically to say, you know, Southampton maybe deserve a little bit of credit for this as well, because Liverpool's spent a lot of their players.
Yeah.
Something lost in translation when it's been edited, if I'm honest, in the paper today, but never, that's another matter. But, I do think that, you know, it's all come together very well at Liverpool. And, you know, we always talk, I mean, this was something at Everton, but we probably related to the one about the patience. You know, these things do not happen overnight. It's a bit of a cliche, but there is no patience in football. But I think when you look at, you know, this has been a three-year process. You know, there are clubs that can just do it immediately. Chelsea spring to mind. But with Liverpool, they've gone about it a different way. Even though they spent big, much bigger recently, it has still been a bit of a process to get to where they are. And I think that makes it even more satisfying for everyone involved.
But we've seen goals this season. But arguably, have Liverpool been better at the back than going forward?
Well, yes, but I think that starts at the front as well. I think that starts with Firmino, you know, and constantly Jurgen Klopp's going about Salah's work rate and Mane's work rate, and he's just as happy. I mean, obviously the players themselves just crave the goal. Certainly, you know, Salah and Mane will, and maybe sometimes their heads might go, cause they haven't, you know, down a bit because they haven't scored. Whereas Klopp will be lifting those heads up and saying, "Well, look, you know, look what you've contributed to this whole team pattern." And yeah, just on a basic level, when you've got somebody like Van Dijk there, everyone just feels a lot more assured, don't they? And you know, Joe Gomez has come in and looked part. The two fullbacks are, you know, sensational. There isn't really a weakness in that side at the moment. You know, you're always looking at a team and wondering, you know, what could they just have a little bit more of, and maybe a little bit more creativity in the middle and all that. But then you look at James Milner's performance and go, well, he is very creative. He just doesn't get much credit for being creative. So, yeah, it does look very strong, and it's just a shame that Chelsea have got this fella called Hazard, and City got this fella called Guardiola. Yeah.
Well, it has to be a competition somewhere, doesn't it? We've got this fella called Salah, who maybe, if you look beneath it all, looks like there's just a little bit of frustration still. Perhaps if he'd scored that back heeler at the weekend, you know, it would have all unleashed off his shoulders. He did get a goal, but there still is almost a bit of a perception that he's over-trying, you know, trying a little bit too hard.
I thought it was his best game on Saturday. I think you're right about the first half. I thought before he scored the goal, there was an obvious anxiety there, and he was just, things just weren't quite coming off. And that brilliant 1-2 he played with Firmino, and then Cedric saw just make that brilliant tackle, and even last year that wouldn't have happened. But then I thought, even the last, it was a very quiet second half, but the last 10 minutes, Salah was just tearing them apart, and you kind of almost thought he could have played for another 10 or 15 minutes then and got a couple of goals. I just thought he was getting stronger, and I thought there were really good signs there. good to see him just easing past the fullback again, you know, at the end when he got to the byline, put a few crosses in. I thought that was very encouraging because, I mean, you know, nothing's been lost for Mo Salah. I mean, the injury, yeah, people say, oh, maybe he's been affected by that injury, but the injury was to the shoulder, it wasn't to his legs, and I don't think there's anything to worry about at all. I think he's going to just explode as he did last year.
But perhaps something that, I don't know whether it's obvious or not, and maybe I'm seeing too much into this, I'm not sure he's physically attacking opposition players in the way he was last year. He was he was doing that thing last year where, that Suarez used to do, bustle his way past players. And I'm just wondering whether the shoulder injury has left a little nagging doubt in his mind. He doesn't seem to physically challenge the opposing player in the same manner at the moment.
I'm not sure. I kind of wonder whether it's just more a case of when he was signed, nobody really expected a 44-goal season player. And maybe he didn't even think of himself in that way. But then you come into a new season and it's all about getting in the box and getting the chance and getting near the box and shooting. And I think there was too much of that in the first few games. And I'm sure we'll never know. Maybe it'll all be in a book in a few years' time. But, you know, it's one of those things where I would be staggered if Jurgen Klopp didn't sit him and Mane down in the last week or so after the Spurs game and just say, come on, lads, you know, there's one or two situations there. You know better than this. Just be a bit more sensitive. It just needs a little kind of mental retune. And I think visibly in the last two games, they were playing far more. It wasn't so much they were looking to shoot, or certainly Salah, he wasn't just looking to shoot when he got on the edge of the box. He was looking more, but way more awareness. I think that's the way, more team awareness. And I thought you really did see that on Saturday, especially as I said, the second half. He was almost through the way. It was almost like he was looking to pass more than shoot.
Yeah.
And it's just once they get it right. So when they're working in tandem, the goals come naturally anyway, you know, and they all help each other and bring the best from each other. So I still think each of them will definitely score 20 goals this season, the front three, and of course one or two of them will go well beyond that.
Someone who was trying his heart out and trying to impress and show that he should be used in future games was Shaqiri, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously hooked at half-time, and I don't know the entire reason for that. It's something you don't see that often. But he had a decent first half, and of course, you know, involved in the first, which was an own goal, and then the second from the free kick, fantastic to watch. Yeah. He was probably a little bit disappointed to be withdrawn.
Well, he will be. I think they changed, you know, very rare for Jurgen Klopp to change the formation from the 4-3-3, but playing Salamore's number nine and the three guys, Firmino, Shaqiri and Mane behind. It was a bit of a cavalry charge, which was great to watch, but it did leave Henderson and Wijnaldum a little bit exposed at times, and against a better side it might have been a problem. Don't really notice it as a problem when you're 3-0 up at half-time, but clearly this is what the manager and his backroom team are paid to do, and he did quite a lot. Jurgen Klopp called Jordan Henderson over to sort of basically tell Shaqiri to start tracking back a bit. And he obviously thought at half-time, weighing it up, well, he could have taken one of the front three off, but they're obviously, I would imagine, not going to play on Tuesday. Shaqiri will play on Tuesday against Chelsea. So it made sense if he's going to sacrifice anybody, sacrifice him. And I think he's probably taken it quite well. I'm sure he's probably said, look, you're coming off here, but you're starting against Chelsea, and that'll appease him somewhat. Probably feel a lot better than he would if he didn't have another game for a couple of weeks. You know, if he's going to go on international duty, he might have had a different view of it.
There's a few of them waiting to get on at the moment, and of course, you know, Naby Keita, Fabinho as well. But then if you look at, say, Gini Wijnaldum, you can't take this boy off the pitch at the moment. It's like he's risen to the challenge presented to him.
Yeah, I think that the starting lineup in Chelsea in the league picks itself after the performances against Spurs and PSG. But they've got the opportunity now in the Capital One Cup, whatever we're calling it these days, on Wednesday night to show themselves, and that is what it's all about now. I mean, you can't just come into a club like Liverpool and just go straight into the side. You've got to make yourself justify the Twitter demand to keep you in the team, isn't it? You know, and I think when if Wijnaldum and Milner, I don't necessarily think they needed that, but I think with Fabinho and Keita coming in, it's helped motivate them to raise that level a little bit, you know. And this is what a squad does, because they know if they have a below par couple of games, well, there is somebody there who will get his chance, and that's what it's all about. That's what Liverpool have not had for a lot of the last 20 years, and it's up to them to come in. I mean, if they play poorly on Wednesday night, well, the decision will be very easy for Jürgen Klopp over the next month or so when he's for the bigger, what you call bigger games. Although I do think it is a big game on Wednesday, because I think it will be very helpful for Liverpool to advance in all the competitions.
Absolutely. Your tongue-in-cheek line did manage to make it right at the end, though, Chris.
Okay.
If people read today, so should Liverpool win the title, it will be a tribute to Southampton's recruitment, and maybe Les Reed will get a cut or even a medal.
Yeah, there you go.
And will Liverpool win the title? Or is it far too early to be making brash statements?
I'm not going to predict but I do think it's going to take over 90 points to do it, and that's quite a formidable amount of games you've got to win. I just don't think City are going away. Still not quite sure how good Chelsea are yet, but I know good Eden Hazard is. And you've got a player like him, you can win every football match, and that's sounds maybe not great for the Premier League, but it's a shame Real Madrid couldn't have got a bit of cash together and made that bid for Hazard to take him away. I think it would have been a two-horse race this season. But Chelsea would be up there as well.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall. Rock, Sport, and Talk.
Radio City Talk.